Let me first explain how we going to support you. In principle, Gabby will be the main support of this study group. Let's say that's one of the ICANN internal, but say in order to get this working group started, Gabby and I... Hello, Gabby?
Hi, this is Gabby. Yes, it's me again. Sorry.
Oh, good.
I'm back. Did Dotty join in the meantime?
No. So we just...
No. Yeah, you just started, great.
Yeah. I just explained to Hong, say, and Sokol and Fernando... that in principle you are the main staff support of this working group, but in preparation of the of this first meeting, we more or less drafted an agenda together. So that's why it's a bit long. And going back to these, because Hong noticed these questions. Say these questions were because Leslie is aware of the say existence of the working group, and she saw and she knew from a couple of weeks back that we would get started. She had some time to think through some of the issues beforehand, so she suggested these topics or questions as a starting point for the study group to address. So that's why you see the long list of questions there. Is that clear,
okay,
Hong?
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think, Gabby, I hand it back over to you and then say that you run us through the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So the first point is the selection of a study group chair. And we had some discussion with Fernando prior to the call because Fernando kindly agreed on being the liaison. So I actually jumped on him immediately and asked whether he would agree on being the chair as well of the group, which he was kind of forced to volunteer. Are you fine with Fernando to chair this group? Of course, if there's another one one of you who would like to chair the group, I mean, this is absolutely open for discussion. It's just that in my experience, it's always an issue. This is why I actively try to suggest someone to the group. So would you be fine with Fernando?
I'm fine, Gabby.
Oh, sure.
Cool. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
This is the way we select the chair. But it's more normally hard to find a volunteer. So thank you very much, Amanda, for volunteering for this role.
No problem.
And so we can say that we unanimously selected Fernando as a chair.
Yep.
The second item, I'm not sure how much Bart already talked about this, but the problems and the questions to be dealt with, so that we understand what this group is actually going to do. As you see, I sent out some background material so that you can get familiar with it. I will ask Bart to run through the attachments that I posted yesterday, and also so that we can have a look at Leslie's questions. I know that, Bart, you went to certain now, I think, where you touched upon them. So, Bart, would you mind going through the attachments?
I just explained the background of these questions. I didn't go through the, the other attachments. What I've done, if you all recall, and you were all participating in the council workshop in Costa Rica, and during that discussion, the council discussed, in fact, three documents. One was the mind map, which with the link in here, and this mind map is more or less capturing all the activities of the CCNSO over the next 2 years. And based on that mind map, so that's what we discussed, and we really went into detail of some of the milestones and deliverables of for all these different activities. and discussed it with the chairs of the working groups whether this was feasible, correct, etc. Maybe you recall this. Now, based on this mind map, there is what you can see is called a document called CCNSO Complete Work Plan Activities. This is another way of looking at these activities, with one exception, or with one addition, sorry, not with an exception. It includes, say, quote-unquote resources, in particular volunteers and staff support for the different working groups and other activities of the CCNSO. And based on, say, some of the underlying assumptions, if you go to the final document, resources, and that's where I want to end up, is that you see a lot of people listed here with, in principle, red flags, yellow flags, and green flags behind them. And this is, say, the red flags, yellow flags, and green flags are, in fact, warning signals. If you really would look into it, it means that some people I know are supposed to work around 200% of their allocated time on, say, on all the activities. Say, one example is, for instance, Keith Davidson and Leslie. And this is based on some of the underlying assumptions. That's what you do if you start drafting project management stuff. And the underlying assumptions, for instance, for Leslie, which is a very good example, I think, is that she spends about half a day a week on CCNSO-related activities. Now, based on that assumption, so Leslie is chair of the CCNSO, based on that assumption, you can see she's well over, she's got a red flag behind her name, and that means that at the end of the day, she spends far more time, I think it's over 120 or 140% of half a day a week, on CCNSO-related matters. And this is, say, another very good example is, for instance, Keith, who I've scheduled for half a day as well, given, say, taking into account his role as chair of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which is probably one of the most time-consuming working groups of the CCNSO. So what it means is that, and this makes it very vibrant, I think, and very clear that on the one hand, you've got all these activities, etc., and mapped out, and that's the first document, activities. And on the second hand, you've got the volunteers, but it's also true for support staff, say, for Gabby, Christine, and myself, and for Bernie, is that on the other hand, you see the quote-unquote resources, and say there is an overstretch of resources. People put in far more than say the allocated time, and in principle. And the difficulty is because they're volunteers. If you would go back to say like most CCTLD manager or registries, they are not able to spend more time on CCNSO-related matters. So at some point, the rubber hit the road in the sense...
I have just gotten rejoined. I'm sorry. I'm so...
The rubber will hit the road that, say, the CCNSO is at the one hand at full capacity, which we are right now given the number of volunteers, and on the other hand side, more activities and requests are coming our way. And so there needs to be, and that was the starting point for, discussion at the council. And the result of it was to establish initially this study group. And my read of the study group is not to come up with very detailed recommendations, but is to set, say, for the council, but general strokes of what should be next steps to resolve this basic dilemma, and the dilemma being, say, the number of volunteers and the capacity of the volunteer community, and on the other hand, the activities and the request upon the CCNSO, etc. So that was the reason why we included these documents at the start, to go back to that discussion of the council in Costa Rica. That was it. I hope this clarifies a bit of the core issue that the study group is facing.
Hey, Mark, can I ask a question? Sokol here.
Of course you could.
Have you been part of the working group constituted in Puerto Rico in 2007?
You mean the participation working group?
Yes.
No, I wasn't. Gabby was.
I mean, I would have liked for either you or Gabby to explain a little bit this final report, and whether we can use some of those conclusions, or I mean, in what way we can look at it.
Yeah, if you look at it, say. I think you're moving ahead of because that's work that's done, and that's why we included it. The first thing is, I think, whether there needs to be clarity around the issue itself, whether you all understand, say, where the study group is coming from and where we are heading, and that's why we included the questions of Leslie as well. And say the next step in what I think is a good method is look at the work already done, for instance, by the participation working group at the time.
But so okay. can I just say also, the issues were related, but it was still slightly different because the biggest focus of the participation working group was actually to get people involved in CCNSO at all. At the time, we had just about 50 members at the time when it started, and we were thinking of how to make the CCNSO more attractive, and find ways to do that. Whilst now we're actually thinking of how can we actually activate the members that we already have more to take on a little bit more of the work burden. We've been successful in actually getting more people involved in general, so we have more we have more members and so on. But now we have to actually get to distribute the work a little bit better.
Oh, Gabby.
No, I understand it. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, I'm very sorry. There's no Adobe room to raise my hand, so we have to yell at the phone. This is so hard for me. And I'm very shy. those flags are very interesting. ICANN had a special session at the public forum, I guess, last time about volunteer burnout. CCNSO is facing a similar situation. But I've read through the two documents attached with the email and just been mentioned by Bart. These are interesting, but those flagmen, those men with flags, either red or yellow or green, they are officers. They're not ordinary members of any working group. As officers, as chair or vice chair, I guess they've already made commitment when they've threw their hat into the ring that they volunteer to put in more time. Of course, the issue here is whether the more time is reasonable and fair, but remember, they are officers. One of their responsibilities is to stimulate the people in their working group to work. I guess it's part of their duty to allocate the labor within the group rather than to try to get all the work done by themselves. So this is one issue I raised. Another issue is that for some working group, that has some internal restrictions to prevent people from joining the group. One example is the issue that's been raised at the last council call. I don't remember, the lady who is co-chairing the JIG group mentioned the issue that one CCPLD can only have one vote. There's one vote issue, so two volunteers from .cn is an issue because that will mean more multiple votes. So we have to be aware of these institutional limits. Engagement is good, but is it possible to engage them within the system? That's something we need to look at. My last comment and question is that whether we're only studying the engagement issue with respect to working groups, or this is kind of engagement to CCNSO generally. Because apart from working group model, we have other works to engage the people from CCTLD community, such as to engage them at the meetings. They're not working for any working group, but they're volunteer to, say, chair a session in a face-to-face meeting of CCNSO. Would that be kind of an engagement as well? I try to open up our mind, and I guess we can't answer all the questions listed today. Okay, back to you, Gabby.
That's good. I mean, these are exactly kind of the kind of questions that we want to have raised. To reply to the second question, yes, I think definitely it's not only working group engagement, it's CCNSO engagement in general, and this is also why we're at a major point where we would like to try to engage some from the program working group, because some of the issues are related there, because that's where we try to get people to share meetings, for instance, or sessions, for instance, or get speakers and so on. So that is related as well. But as I said, these are questions that we have to throw up and then discuss and see where we go. I don't have the answer to all of your questions.
Gabby, may I answer? Give some clarification to at least one point or two points from Hong.
Yes, thank you.
First of all, if you look at the chart I've sent, what you see is what is called membership working group. This, in fact, is a catch-all for the members of the working group. And what is, I've tried it with one, but it doesn't add very much. If you list all the different members of a working group and list them like this, you will see that some of them will be red flagged, but there is, in fact, and that's an interesting point you raised about the membership of working groups, there is a more interesting point there, is that what you see is some people have put their name forward for three or four different working groups. But at the same time, what you see is they hardly turn up at one. So on the one hand side from a more I hate to use the word, but I will use it anyway, from a management perspective, to get stuff done, you think you got volunteers or members of working groups. But on the other hand side, what you note at the same time as well is they hardly turn up. So you're in fact building a structure on quicksand. This has been one of the major issues, for instance, that this is another issue that faced the JIG. If you may recall from some of the, from the discussions on the council, one of the reasons for sending out a call for volunteers for the JIG again because it was the wear out of the members of the jig. There were hardly, say, you have, say, from the CCNSO, there was at most one person participating in on a regular basis with these calls.
Well, and Hong, can I just also for everyone add on this that I at least can see that, well, I'm not sure, but I am also involved with the travel funding, and I can see that some people are, because to get travel funding, for instance, for the CCNSO, you have to show that you're active in the CCNSO somehow. And we get applications from people that say, I'm a member of this and this and this and this working group, and therefore I think I should have funding. But the thing is that they don't ever turn up to this working group. So I know that they're abusing this somehow. They just put their name forward, and then they abuse the position somehow, that they are on the working group, but they never turn up. So I think it can also be an issue that they do it because they can use it at home. I'm not sure why, but this is a big problem, actually, that if we have many working group members, we know that many of them won't be active at all.
Oh, now I see the bigger issue. Let us be focusing on working group first, then think about the other things generally, such as chairing a meeting session, the face-to-face meeting. But working group, I think, sorry to interrupt.
Sorry, Hong. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. What I want to say is that, yes, let's first look at working group and the people's engagement in the working group. I guess what you mentioned is really shocking. This is very surprising. People volunteer to join a working group and just need a name to put it on their CV. That's very weird. They join a working group. They are supposed to work. This is not an honor or just a title. So what I want to know is that, of course, I need you guidance. Say, is it the rules of procedures when people join the working group? Are they aware of their responsibility, the workload, time commitment, or is it just a call? Okay, join us, and then
this is in fact one of the points that needs improvement. I would say in some of the working groups, there is an implicit understanding of the workload. I'm aware of two charters of working groups which explicitly note that you are expected to, by applying as a member, you more or less commit to actively engage. But even for those working groups, and one of them is, for instance, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which is probably one of the most important things that the CCNSO has ever undertaken, is even with say, this explicit commitment, you still see that people will not be able to turn up at every meeting. Or will not be able is already an assessment, judgmental phrase, will not turn up. So, say, I think we have to be a little bit careful to interpret why people don't turn up and what they do. But, say, what we can see definitely is that people commit to working groups, and then hardly, say, if you would count, they would not turn up at working groups when they are called for. So there is a lag between, say, initial commitment and actual commitment and actual contribution to the work. I think
it's
a point that would be a good thing to understand some of the underlying dynamic.
For the initial commitment, I guess we can improve the transparency, let the people who are going to join any working group to be aware of the workload. and tight commitment. But for the actual commitment, that's really a big issue. I know it's really bad to check attendance of calls or teleconferences because it's volunteer group. But I know for GNSO, normally they've attached attendance sheet at the end of the final report of the working group. So you can see which member has not participated in certain calls. Of course, there's really some logistic difficulty. So people from Africa, it's difficult to join through telephone, or people are traveling or living busy life. It could be understandable. But if someone substantially missed missed substantive number of calls, that's a big issue. Maybe it deserves to be pointed out.
Yes.
Okay, back to you.
Can I add something on this?
Yeah.
I think there are two issues here. One is participation in a working group. And the second one is... Yes. Okay, let me repeat then what I started to say, Gabby. I think there are two issues here. One is the participation in the working group, and the other one is being active in the working group. I think what we want, what we are shooting for, is being active in a working group. I mean, there is no point to put the mechanisms so people can be forced to participate in a working group but not be active in such a group. So what I'm saying here is that perhaps one way to really know what's going on might be a survey with the members of the working groups. What they think are the reasons that they are not doing what they should do.
But it is.
Is this because they didn't have good explanation of the expectations of the working group? It is because it is not the group that they wanted to join? It is because they are not prepared to contribute to that particular working group? It is because they don't have time, etc., etc. So we can assume right now the reasons, but in reality, I think we cannot really get what they think. So perhaps we have to be careful. I mean, we can attach attendance sheet, but in the end, what do we get? I mean, we can even get them participating, but we don't get their being active, and we don't get their contributions. So I think it's important for them to participate and be active, and not just participate for the sake of signing attendance sheet or something else. So, of course, I don't know, Bart or Gabby, I don't know if such a survey is done or if it is possible to really know what the members of the working group are feeling. I mean, to have their anonymous input, actually, with regard to the involvement. Perhaps this is something that we can start off. I mean, you tell me if this is something that has been done or is impossible to be done. Or
It hasn't been done. It's possible to be done. It's just I'm wondering how we can reach the people that we want to reach. I mean, how many people will admit that they haven't been active? But I think we could try. I think it's worth a try.
Maybe another question is going back to, say, the role of the study group, and I think it's absolutely worthwhile for whatever purpose, say you can use a survey for different purposes. One is...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can use it to seek information, but it's also a very subtle way of telling people, look, this is an issue, please contribute by filling it in. It's an awareness-raising aspect of surveys. But that's something else. Say, if you look at the time frame the study group is supposed to report back to the CCNSO Council in general, say, and time frame is around Prague, so that's in a couple of weeks. I wonder whether the study group itself should conduct a survey or should advise the council to pick it up as a next step?
I think time-wise, it's very limited to get this done in for Prague. Either we can advise, or if we can have extended mandate to go beyond Prague's meeting, and then we can carry on the survey. I mean, those are the options, I think.
Yeah, and the question is, and the next step is, what do you want to do with the results? Is it something for this working group, or is it something, say, that could be used by a real follow-up, or by the study group, or by a follow-up working group, something like, say, the participation working group? But that's something, say, this is a bit of brainstorming, but it's, I think in itself it's a very good suggestion that needs to be captured and looked into more detail to if such a survey is useful, and when should it be done if it's considered useful by the study group?
What I think, Bart, is if we want to make some relevant recommendations, then I think it makes sense to have some feedback from the members.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk forever about the reasons, but we still don't have the most important thing, the inside information of what is really going on. It's another question how willing they will be to share that information. It is another question whether they will be truthful to that, but perhaps we even can encourage that truthfulness and sincerity. But I think once we have that information, then we can proceed with the next step of making some recommendations or coming up with some valid points that we can suggest to the council.
Given the timelines, would something like interviewing or talking to a couple of chairs of working groups, would that be, because they have a different perspective again?
Well, yes, but may I jump in? Sorry to interrupt. This is exactly what I want to suggest. Before we go to a survey and try to get the information from the members' working group, I guess we need to talk with those chairs and vice chairs of working group and get their general appraisal or assessment of the performance of their members. They know who is working, who is not, and the reason may be provided by the members, or explanation, why is missing certain calls, I'm traveling and I cannot access the phone. That's a more easy way to acquire information needed for study. We are a study group. So if we are going to take actions, I suggest we defer to those substantive committees or working groups, such as participation working group or program committee. Right. Back to you, Bob.
But I think what is a good idea, at least capture these two ideas and see how they up with some and discuss them more in detail at the next call.
Hey, Bart, this is Fernando. I have a question. Are there situations in working groups where, because of the limited number of slots, I guess, if some people, I guess, are not actively participating, they're preventing other members from joining the working group and actually contributing?
And I think that in some cases it does, like the JIG working group, because, for instance, there are members in the JIG working group that have a vote but never turn up. And now we had an addition of members, and this kind of blocked that, you know, there was just one vote per registry and so on. So in a way, I think in some situations it does block others.
Yes.
Well, Gabby, if I could, I'm sorry, Fernando. For that group, it's a little curious to me. The lady who opposed two people from one CCTLD herself is not from any registry, any CCTLD, and she's the co-chair. So now the issue here is whether this is per CCTLD, per vote principle is being applied. So I guess Fernando is really, really raising a very relevant and legitimate question here. Oh, back to you, Gabby.
This is Bart. I think this is a bit skewed. This whole JIC issue was a bit skewed by the voting. If you look at charters of the CCNSO itself, there is no explicit reference to voting.
Right.
Therefore, such a situation as raised by the chairs or co-chairs of the JIC would not occur, and I doubt whether, if I can even look it up right now, whether in the JIC there is a voting envisioned.
But Bart, just generally, I can give you examples. I'm not 100% if it was the JIG or if there was another IDN working group, but I, for instance, remember that we often have criteria that people need to fulfill. And we say we want so-and-so many from that region and so on and so on. And if we had too many from one region, then we actually, the council made a selection of who...
Yeah.
Who was allowed to go in the region. And I know, for instance, I can't remember exactly which working group this was, if this was the JIG or if it had something to do with IDNs. And I remember, for instance, there was a lady from Malaysia, and she was not selected from the council. They said, you can be an observer, which is almost the same, but you have no voting rights.
Yeah.
And she was fine with that. But the thing is that I know that this lady, she would have been very active,
yeah.
I mean, if she would have had the full rights, and I know that her colleagues from the Asian region were not, and I remember this because I thought it's a sad in a way that she wasn't allowed to be, you know, a full member because we have these restrictions. So in a way, it is blocking.
I agree with you. Say that there, and this is a very good point. There are some institutional mechanisms at work, for instance, the geographic regions, which are far more invasive than the voting. It is because of the geographic spread and say the geographic regions representation within the CCNSO Council and in the CCNSO itself that you find some issue, that you see some issue. And which makes it very bad and sad in a way, because if one of the regions, for instance, they hardly has any members, the North American region. I think it's, Fernando, it's only four CCTLDs who are members, aren't they?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yes, there's four. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you've got the Asian Pacific and the European region, which almost over 30 or 35 members. So there is a definite
mm-hmm.
imbalance here. And as soon as you start imposing geographic regions requirements, then you will have an issue.
Well, this is very important information for us to know. So apart from the geographical balance, maybe the other consideration should be taken into account, such as a geographical fairness.
Yeah, in a way, yes. No, but it's more a limiting factor than anything else. I don't know what you mean by fairness, Hong.
Oh, what I mean is if 35 CCTLDs from Asia-Pacific and only four from North America, so I guess it shouldn't be the same number limits to be applied to these two regions. It's so different. For the 35 region, maybe they deserve to have more members in the working group.
If you look at, say, where it's... It becomes an issue as soon as you say one member from every region, and this is one of the, and if you look at it, say, for instance, with the, of the membership with all the, say, working groups, you will note that, say, from, in some cases, there's maybe one, but sometimes none from the North American region, and five or six from other regions. But I agreed at the time with the IDNC working group. I think it was the IDNC, or yeah. The issue became apparent as, oh, now we have to be, it has to be a bit more balanced. But that sometimes I think we don't, the council doesn't set these requirements anymore.
And I hope Gabi could elaborate on that case, that the lady from Malaysia cannot be a full member of that IDN group. For what reason? That's because Asia-Pacific have already members.
Yes, well, that was, as Bart mentioned in the beginning, sometimes it's better not to have two members because it becomes unmanageable. So at least the council used to set a limit, for instance, that's three per region or whatever it is. So, and let's say that in this specific case, but I can't really remember which group it was, but I just remember there were many from the Asia-Pacific region, and if there were too many, it was up to the council to actually decide who could be on the group, and she was not one of the people that was picked on the group to be... She was not allowed to be a full member, although she was allowed to be an observer. So the only difference really was that she would not have voting rights. And as I said, I think whilst many of her full member colleagues turned the group down, she was much more active than the others. So and yet she wouldn't have full rights. So it was just an example of how this, you know, can hamper participation somehow.
Well, so these council limit on the numbers per region may deserve our review as well, and especially the council may relate the topics to the region. For IDN, it's so important for Asia Pacific, but it's not so important for North America. I assume so. That may be something we need to think about. So, Gabi and the others, is this a one-hour call? So, what is the next step for us to move?
I think just a minute. Just to finish this one off, it's what is fascinating. I just checked with, and this is, makes it, just check to be sure, the JIG has no voting right. So that's a fascinating one. The reason why there is 5 and 5 is initially is to keep parity between the GNSO and the CCNSO. But that's another issue. If you go back to the agenda, I think what was the next point would be setting up the liaison with program working group, wasn't it, Gabi?
Yes, let me check. Yes, the liaisons. Well, it's more or less appointed that Fernando would be the reporter to the council, and then whether we need to either invite a liaison to the from the program working group.
And Gabi, can you explain again what was the reason why we needed to invite a liaison from the somebody from the program working group? Is it because I guess they're facing similar issues?
Yeah, it's related issues at least, because the program working groups very often in their discussions when they set the agenda, they very often start to discuss engagement as well. That is. It's a topic that is constantly returning because it's infecting how we set the agenda, very much how people reply to the survey, for instance, that we do. So this is a constant topic that we return to, and sometimes even that I have to stop them because I'm saying this is not, you know, it's not your business to deal with these things. This should be for another working group to do. So I think that it would be in but there are topics that they are very interested in touching upon because they want to know how to get people more engaged and so on as well. So therefore, I think that we should have some link to the program working group so they at least know what you're doing and they know what's, you know, perhaps some kind of cooperation could be there.
as you know, we always also have these surveys after each meeting. Perhaps you can come up with some brilliant question we could add to the survey or whatever. You know, it's just, I think that there's much, the problem is related.
Okay. Thank you.
So the question is, should I ask, we have the program working group call next week on Tuesday, should I ask someone from the program working group to join this working group to as a liaison, or is there anyone from this group who would like to join the program working group?
I would do it the first.
The first way.
Yeah,
I agree.
The program on this one.
Exactly. So with your allowance, I will do so. I will ask the program working group to appoint someone who will join the study group calls, so that you know what's going on in both groups.
Okay. I think that's
okay, and as I said, I'll do that next week. Then we were thinking of a third kind of liaison, but not sure this needs to be done at this point of time, but perhaps invite someone from the previous participation working group to give input on what issues they were facing and what they think the way forward could be. As I said, it doesn't even have to be a liaison. It's perhaps someone we can just invite at some point. It's more something for you to think about.
And the reason for including, and the reason for including the link to the document was that because I think at least Sokol and Hong, you were not aware of the existence, probably, of this working group in the past.
Nope.
So, and they touched upon, say, some of the issues and say some of the topics and issues that you will probably face as well, or the study group will face. So, what happened as well is, I think it was during the Nairobi meeting with the council workshop. Yes, that was in 2010. Is that we looked at the implementation of some of the recommendations. And at the time, in 2010, say, all the outstanding recommendations were more or less implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it might be good to have a look at them again, and this could be done very easily to check the list and go back to the minutes from the council workshop in Nairobi, see if there have been any changes.
So were there any...
I agree, Rob.
The recommendation from this participation working group have been implemented.
Yes.
And have we seen improvement of participation?
Absolutely. But please look at, if you look at the scope of the, or say the main purpose of this participation working group is to improve participation in the CCNSO, that was trying to get more members.
Oh.
As Abby said, at the time when this working group started, it was around more or less 60, I would say, wasn't it, Gabby?
It was just above 50.
It was just
50
over
50
members.
Yeah.
Currently, there are over 120. We're nearing 130 members.
Oh, okay.
So there's a thoughtful working group.
Sorry?
This is a successful working group.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with Gabby that perhaps it would be wise if we invite in this meeting, in the next call, somebody, a former member, I mean, in addition to Gabby, somebody else that was a member of this working group.
Yes, but the question is, what do you want this person to do? because it doesn't say it is closed already in February 2009. I think.
Well, to my understanding, let me finish. Participation Working Group is to do outreach, to get more members to CCSO. But what we're doing today for this group to study the engagement of those members. They're already members of CCSO, even the members of working groups, how to make them engaged to the work they're supposed to do. So I guess different perspectives. I don't believe we need liaison from that close group.
Then I agree that it is a different perspective, and what I was thinking more was that perhaps some of the principles might be the same. This might be a one-time joining of a call of somebody that has been active in that working group that can give some inside information, etc. But it's just one option. I was simply thinking that the principles perhaps are the same, despite a different focus.
Maybe to move forward with this bit, might it be useful that we check and say, look, go back to the council workshop and see what happened, say the council workshop in Nairobi, see how it's implemented, and that you check this, and if there are some questions, additional questions, that you raise them by email to and for the other members of the study.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so this one has been addressed now as well, and now I think Gabi, the next one.
I think we lost Gabi.
While Gabi is away, say in the preliminary discussions, what Gabi and I suggested or was talking about was the timeline is, if you look at it, Prague is reasonably close. It's end of June, and by that time, this working study group needs to report back, at least at a high level, to the council. That's the basic idea. And come up with some high-level recommendation. One of them could be that we need more time as a study group, of course. But so you got the Prague meeting. At the same time, say, we need to do some drafting, etc. We need to discuss more in depth some of the aspects that we like the questions from Leslie, survey, what is happening within working groups, etc. So what we captured today. So the suggestion will be or is to have, say, this call every 2 weeks from between now and Prague, and preferably on today, on Friday afternoon, isn't it, Gabi?
Yes, Friday afternoon, 12 UTC,
yeah.
Seems to be best for everyone.
Yeah. So what's your view?
Well, I given the time frame, this is Fernando, given the time frame that we have to provide some sort of, high-level report, as you mentioned, I think it does make sense to have the call every 2 weeks going forward.
Hong Soko?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine with me, Bart.
Hong?
I said I'm okay with that. Well, we don't have big lists. This is really hard to... okay. Am I muted?
No, not anymore.
No,
you said I was okay.
Right.
So I think, say, taking it from here, I think Fernando, Gabi, and I will come up with, say, another agenda, etc., for the next call, do some stuff, that say, as members of the study group, you look more into the CCNSO participation and maybe start thinking about or record some thoughts about the questions of that Leslie raised. And say, if we combine this, say, over the next, if you could do this over the next week or so, or 1.5 week, so by say, the Tuesday, then we can compile it, and we can use it for the call on the, in 2 weeks' time. So that's the, I think it's the 5th, isn't it, or the 4th of May?
Yes, you're right. 4th of May.
Yeah. Is that a method to move forward and then so schedule the calls on the 4th of May, 18th, 1st of June, and the 15th of June?
Yep.
Yes.
And then say for the next call that say the members of the study group have a look at the questions from Leslie, so that were included in the email, and start put down some thoughts in an email, send it to this say to the other members, and to us, and then we compile them, and then we have something to get a more in-depth discussion at the next call and have a look at the participation working group results.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And Bart, just one clarification. When we start putting some thoughts on the questions from Leslie, et cetera, and are we setting ourselves some sort of deadline? Are we saying, I guess, May the 1st?
Yes, I think that's the easiest because then, say, we as support staff have the time to compile it and then put it into one document. Then you start drafting, say, you got this iterative stuff, and then you have an overview of what's happening.
Okay.
Okay.
And we keep pestering you if you don't send up.
Okay, so are we adjourned?
I think, Gabby, are you still?
Yeah, there? Nothing to say, nothing more.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.